Amen. Thank you for that special. If you would please open your Bible tonight to the book of Proverbs, And we're going to look at Proverbs chapter number 21. Proverbs chapter number 21, verse 31. Once you have found that, if you are physically able to, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word tonight? Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 31. We'll look at one verse tonight, and we'll pray, and we'll ask God to help us. The Bible says in Proverbs 21, verse 31, "The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord." Again, Proverbs 21, verse 31 reads, "The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord." Let's pray together. God in heaven, we do thank you that we have you to rely on at all times. You are faithful to every generation. You are unchanging. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, here in this moment, in this year that we live, in this month, in this week, in this day, and even in this hour, we need you. God, the things that are against us are against you. And Lord, you have given us victory. And you have assured us that the battle is already won through you. We ask you to help us to understand more of this scripture in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I have really enjoyed reading the book of Proverbs. I've picked it up again. Many of you probably read the proverb of the day. You know, it's 31 proverbs and 31 days in a month. And you probably, part of your Bible reading is to read a proverb of the day. Well, when I came to the 21st day and I was reading it, I'm reading Proverbs chapter 21. And in typical proverb fashion, it is just one piece of wisdom after the other. It is the wise man does this, the foolish man does this, the slothful man does this, the diligent man does this. Very applicable. And it seemed like in Proverbs 21, even in Proverbs chapter 20, that there was kind of a theme between the fool and the wise man. There is a theme between the wicked man and the righteous man. And then all of a sudden, he concludes chapter 21 with verse 31, which again reads, "The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord." And I paused there when I read that and I thought, well, there's got to be a reason that this is in the scripture. There's got to be a reason that the flow of the fool and the wise man is almost just abruptly halted with this horse proverb. "The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord." When I began to think about the purpose of this verse and trying to understand more of it, whenever I read a Bible passage or a Bible verse, I don't like the idea that I just have to skip over it. I like to try and gain some understanding. And a lot of the Proverbs are very easily understood, but Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31 bothered me. "The horse is prepared against the day of battle." Okay. "But safety is of the Lord." Okay. Are we just there to read and just say okay and move on? But I do believe that God has something very precious, something very important for us to understand tonight. The truth of the matter is there is a day of battle. The truth is that safety is of the Lord. That word safety has the idea of deliverance. And we know, you know, we read the back of the book. We win, or I should say, Jesus wins. He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. And we do know that one day Satan will be defeated. He will be cast into the eternal flame of hell. He will be cast into death and will forever be banished and it will be done away with. Death and hell and the grave, those keys are in the hand of Christ. We know that we win in the end. We have sung a song, "Victory in Jesus." We have sung songs about, we're marching to Zion, songs about victory. And we know that when Jesus Christ comes the second time, He will rule and reign on this earth. After the 1,000 millennial reign, a year reign, Satan will be released and he will deceive many, but God will have the ultimate judgment for Satan and he will be forever banished. And we know that we win in the end. Safety is of the Lord. And I think to myself of what we are facing today in the public schools, what we are facing today online, what we are facing today in our government. It is a peace and it is a comfort knowing that we do win in the end. That whatever the president may decree, whatever the government may pass, and whatever is being allowed in a public school is not the final authority. Christ is the final authority. And in the end, He wins. But He has not yet come for us yet. We are still here. And while we are living in this world, we are cohabitating this earth with wickedness. We are cohabitating this world, this beautiful place that God has made for us. In this is unrighteousness and ungodliness and temptation and wickedness. And we have a battle to face. Yes, we do win in the end. Ultimately, the deliverance from all of the evil, a deliverance from all ungodliness is of the Lord. There is no way that I, in who I am, can eradicate all evil from this world. And there is nothing that Faith Baptist Church could do collectively as a whole to eradicate evil from this world. That is a position and authority and a power that only Jesus Christ has. And while we are awaiting for the ultimate deliverance, we face battles. We face battles of government. We face battles of public school. We face battles in our home. We face battles with our kids. We face battles in our marriages. We face battles in our schedules. We face battles with our coworkers, our boss, our finances, our health, family members, and God forbid, church family. We face battles all the time. We face battles that seek to ruin us. We face battles that are not initiated in of ourselves, though some are. But we know that there is an enemy that seeks you out. There is an enemy that walketh about and seeks whom he may devour. And he has not targeted the ungodly. He has not targeted the unrighteous. He is targeting those who are followers of Jesus Christ. The battle comes to us in so many different ways. There's a few things about this, about these battles we can make note of. Is that first, we don't choose the timing of a battle. Which is a real shame. Wouldn't it be nice to go to your wife and say, "Hey, honey, this Saturday, let's go ahead and have that big blow-up argument. Okay? I'm booked all week. It just won't work out today. So whatever you got mulling on in your head, just save it and let's take care of that on Saturday. All right? Wouldn't that be nice to plan our battles? To plan the financial battles that you face. Say, you know what? Let's not pay our bills this month. It's a little... Some people, you may, if you have that mentality, don't have that mentality. We'll just postpone it. You know, just wait. We'll let somebody else pay for it. You know, it would be nice to time our own battles out. You know, my wife tells the stories of when she starts her day, and then all of a sudden, the kids start their day. And I didn't know this because I'm not home at that time, but apparently, children have their own agenda. They get up in the morning and they don't even look at the calendar of what mom is going to be doing. They don't care at all. They have their own agenda. And sometimes agendas collide. And it wouldn't it be nice if we could just say, you know what, kids, no battles, no arguments until 1 p.m. Let's just get a few things straightened out. Wouldn't it be nice to walk into your workplace and just say, "Not today, boss." And I've tried, and it just doesn't. He just comes right on in. Wouldn't it be nice to just put a pause on the government and just say, no, let's just not have any government for a while? Wouldn't it be nice to time out your health battles? Wouldn't it be nice to time out the place and where all these battles will take place? We don't choose the timing of battles. Secondly, we don't choose the type of battles. We don't choose who we're going to battle with that day. We don't choose who we're going to be battling later on that week. We don't choose where we're going to have these battles. We don't even choose why we're having battles. The truth of the matter is, if you are living in this world, you are going to face battles. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you have come into the belief that everything is now going to be perfect, you've been deceived. Somebody's lied to you. Because as long as you and I are breathing this air and walking on this earth, you are guaranteed a battle. You are guaranteed a battle that you did not time out. You are guaranteed a battle that you did not know the type. You did not know who it would be with or where it would be or why it's happening. And we can become very frustrated with battles. We can become very upset that we're having battles, that we're struggling in this area, or I'm having this battle in this area of my life, or in this area of my life. And we become very frustrated with it at times. We are not told in Scripture to run away from battles. We are not told in Scripture to pretend like battles don't exist, but we are told in Scripture to prepare. We are told in Proverbs 21:31 that the horse is prepared against the day of battle. The horse knows that there is a battle. The knight that is going to be riding the horse knows that there is a battle. If there are two nations or two countries that are in a collision, a war over land, there's going to be a battle. Battles are meant to eradicate the enemy, to eradicate wrong and institute right. Battles are inevitable. Even though God has not delivered us fully, He has not raptured ourselves, we are not in His physical presence, and though He is not physically reigning here on earth, and even though we are fighting these battles, no matter who you are, no matter what age you are, no matter what chapter of life you are living in, we are all facing battles, but we can all be prepared. I played basketball in high school, and I always got that sissy award, the most improved award. And from ground zero, anything's up, right? I mean, I was the guaranteed winner of that award. And I remember going into the first game, I was a nervous wreck, absolute, just terrified. Because I had to sit on the bench for most of it. I knew that when my coach, Coach Starr, he was an amazing coach, just a big old black guy, and he sat on the end, and I knew that when he leaned over and looked at me, it was it, game on. And I remember all the times that I failed on the court. I remember all the times I ran out of breath. All the times that I traveled, all the times that I made mistakes and I didn't understand the play. But as the year went on and in the following year, there was a confidence that began to arise in me when facing an opposing team. I now knew the plays very well. We had been conditioning and I could run for days. I remember being able to handle the ball better so I don't travel. Even though we don't choose our enemies, even though we don't choose the type, we don't choose the time, but we can choose to prepare. And I want to help you tonight. I want to give you a few things from God's Word to help you prepare for battles. We would like to think that we would be ready when the battle is right in front of us, and I believe the Spirit of God can move in a great way and give you words of wisdom and help you and strengthen you. But all through Scripture, there are a few things that can help us in our preparation. when I was reading this verse, I understood that the time that this scripture was written was nowhere near the time that we are in right now. This was written about 1,000 years prior to Christ. And so when they would go to war, they didn't have the tanks and they didn't have the Humvees. They barely had chariots. But they always had the horse. And they were known as war horses. Big and beautiful horses. And the man that would ride the war horse was a knight. And the knight knew that there was a battle ahead. The knight knew that there was always going to be a battle. And so he would prepare the horse for battle. Whenever you would picture a war horse, you see it in your mind's eye of all the armor over the face and the armor around the shoulders. But there was a lot more to the preparation than just simply putting on the armor. And we understand that God has given us armor, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, our loins girded about with truth, and we should have the armor on. But there is a full-on rehearsal, there is a practice, there is a preparation that must be done with the horse prior to the battle. And doing some research about how they would prepare the horse, I noted a few things. First of all, the horse must learn the commands. The commands. I didn't know this when I was studying. I thought this was just incredible. I thought in my mind, you just get on a horse and just go. But no, there's a lot to it. Because the knight is going to train that horse to listen to all these various commands that he's going to give to the horse. Even though there's no enemy present, and even though there's no current danger, yet the knight is going to take the time to teach the horse the commands, and the horse is responsible for obeying those commands. These commands could be forward, or backward, or to the side, to the left, or to the right. These commands include rearing up, or even kicking. These commands could be a gallop. These commands could be a trot. Whatever it is that the knight would have the horse to do, there would be a command for that. If the knight gave a strange command on the day of battle, the horse would not be able to respond. The horse wouldn't know what to do. So everything that the knight would want to say to the horse in battle, they're out in the field, they're out in the stables, they are learning these commands. I want us to take our Bible and go to the book of Matthew, please. We're going to look at several passages this evening in the book of Matthew, chapter number 22. Matthew, chapter number 22. And verse number 34. The Bible says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, what is the great commandment in the law?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" If we are going to be prepared for battle, if we know that this week is a week full of mystery, we don't know all the problems that will lie ahead. We don't know all the blessings that are waiting for us. But we don't know what is going to be happening. Here's what I need to do. Before I begin my day, before I even begin my week, I must learn the commands of Christ. God, what is it that you want me to do? What command do you have for me? I don't know what lies ahead, but you know what lies ahead. I don't know what battle I'll be facing, but you know what battle I'll be facing. So tell me, what command do I need to obey? What command in the middle of the battle do I need to adhere to? Love Jesus. Love Jesus. and then love your neighbor as yourself. In the midst of a heated argument, in the midst of a stress and worry, love Jesus. Think of the love of Christ. Remember, we love Him because He first loved us. The Bible says, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When I think of all that I'm facing, I am reminded that I was delivered from hell because of love. And many battles can be won when we have prepared ourselves to love Jesus and to love each other. The horse has to learn these commands. It's very important to know what you are supposed to hear. There's all different sorts of philosophies out today. There's all different types of parenting hacks and parenting skills. And there's all types of marriage this and marriage that. But and this lawyer comes up to Jesus and says, of all these things you want us to do, go to church, read the Bible, pray every day, and go witnessing and evangelize and disciple and do all of these things. Support missions and join the choir and join the choir. And you should join the choir. These are commands, I'm just saying. Of everything that you want us to do while we are here on earth, what is it that will help us prepare for a battle? Will help me prepare for tomorrow? Will help me prepare for something this week or whenever that next battle is? Here it is. Just love me. Jesus says, just love me. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And love your neighbor as yourself. Learn the commands. It was a beautiful thing to see a rider and a horse and every little click and tick and cluck, whatever the sounds they make, and every little word that the rider would make, the horse would just respond. How does that happen? It happens because just before the battle, the knight doesn't say, oh, I got to train this horse. When there is no battle, the horse is being prepared. See, a lot of us only call on Jesus when we need a favor. A lot of us will call on Jesus when we find ourselves in a battle and we didn't prepare for it at all. We didn't spend any time in His Word. We didn't spend any time learning a command from Christ. How can I love you more, Jesus? How can I love my neighbor more? How can I learn your commands? And yet in the midst of a battle, we find ourselves overwhelmed. Why? Because we may have strayed away from preparing by listening to a command. The time that was spent between the horse and the rider could be months between battles. But the rider knew that in order for the horse to have the best possible outcome, for the relationship of the horse and the rider to have the best possible outcome, they have to learn the commands when there's peace. There's that song, life is easy when you're up on the mountain, but things change when you're down in the valley. I want you to know, when you're up on the mountaintop and things are great and life is good and your finances are fine and your family is fun and your health is good, get into God's Word. Don't neglect training. Don't neglect preparation. One person said, you're either heading into a storm, you're in a storm, or you're just coming out of a storm and you're getting ready to head into another one. Preparation. I must learn the commands of Christ. And preparation for this message, nothing but conviction was on my heart. I'm a father. I'm a husband. My primary place in this life is to battle the devil for my family. To battle this culture for my family. What preparation have I done for that? It's convicting to me that I must learn the commands. No matter where the horse was, when it came time to prepare, the horse was there. No matter where in the field it was, when the knight called for it, when it was in the stable and it was ready to go into the field for training, the horse was there. I can't allow anything to pull me away from the commands of Christ. And we can be busy in a lot of good things, We can be busy with church work, with good social work, and taking care of our family. But if we are straying away from the commands of Christ, we're missing out on valuable preparation for a battle. The first thing we ought to prepare is to learn the command. Secondly, you must learn to walk. You must learn to walk. When the knight would prepare the horse, I don't have a horse up here with me. I wish I did. The staff said I couldn't have a horse. When they would prepare the horse, the knight would be on top of the horse, and he would have a staff to resemble a spear, or a wood sword to resemble his sword. And while he's sitting on the horse, he would take that staff and hit his horse. Just a little right on the shoulder there. Swing his staff around and hit him on the shoulder there. Swing it behind him, hit him on the backside there, and hit him on the backside there. And then he takes the rod and he brushes the ears of the horse and waves it in front of his eyes. I'm like, what's all this for? What are you beating up your horse for, Mr. Knight? I don't know if he's like Mr. Knight or whatever, but the whole purpose of that was so that the horse would become accustomed to conflict. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. Am I prepared against the day of battle? By allowing conflict to be my teacher. Allow conflict to be your teacher. Finances is a struggle for many, many families. Allowing a poorly budgeted month not to be your final thought, to not be your identity, but to allow it to be your teacher. Allow it to teach you the conflict. Allow that conflict to be the one who's going to teach you what a battle will feel like. You see, when the horse is in the midst of a battle, if he is being brushed and touched in a way that he is not used to in the field, if all the knight did was make sure that the horse was comfortable and then all of a sudden throw it in a battle, that horse is going to experience pain and the horse is going to experience conflict like it never has before. And life has a way of teaching us. But yet we view conflict as the final blow. We think that's it. I'm a horrible parent because of what I did. I am a poor father. I am a poor husband. I messed up. I made a mistake. I had this argument. I said these words. And we experience conflict. Conflict from outside sources, from a boss, from 465. We experience conflicts at TSA. I was in California, and my goodness, I don't know if you're allowed to be a Christian and work at TSA. It's just, man, those people are rough sometimes. But we face battles all the time, and whether it is a mistreatment of yourself, whether it was a unforeseen financial burden, allow these conflicts to teach you. We must be conditioned through experience. We must be conditioned through experience. Take your Bible and let's go to the book of Job, please. The book of Job. When we think about adversity, when we think about struggle, Job is the character that comes to mind. So Job chapter number 23. And look at verse number 6. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see in him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I would like to think that Jesus would allow His children to walk in this world conflict-free. It would be a beautiful thing, and we could probably fill this auditorium and some if we had a message that your life will be perfect with Jesus. Just name it and claim it. Just sow that seed. But the Bible says in Job that He tries us. He allows conflict in your life. God allows conflict in your life. Why? Because He is doing something in you. He knows what lies ahead a year or two. He knows what lies ahead a week or two. He even knows what lies ahead an hour or two. And what you are going through, the conflict, could be the very teacher to give you the trying to purify you into what He is molding you into. You see, the horse that is being trained for battle must be conditioned through experience. It must be tried in preparation before it is put to work in the battle. Our theme this year is in the battle, and truthfully, we are in the battle. The conversation of where is our battle? What can I do? And we think on the macro level of the battle of being in the White House, the battle being on the world stage. But I want you to know there is a battle through your cell phone. There's a battle on TV. There is a battle with friendships. There is battles in your own mind. And God allows conflicts in your life so that when you are tried, you will come forth as gold. You see, the knight doesn't want just some soft, gallopy little Mustang. He needs a war horse. He needs a horse that is used to conflict, that can charge the enemy and not be surprised by a little bit of obstruction and not be caught off guard by a little more conflict. Yet we talk to God all the time about alleviating us from this conflict and delivering us from these issues. Is it possible that God is sustaining the conflict because He knows of a battle that you have just down the road? So many times I have asked for the reset button on life, and I haven't found it yet. I thought, man, if I could just start the day over, or a couple years. If I could just have a reset on my finances, if I could have a reset on this day. And yet sometimes the conflicts seem to be sustained or even just stopped right in our life. And it's like, what is happening? Why isn't God helping me? He is helping you experience the conflict. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. He is not going to allow something of this world to overtake you. Faith is the victory. We are more than conquerors. He allows these conflicts to condition us, to purify us, and to try us, so that we may say that I shall come forth as gold. I want to be a better husband. Then that means I need to be tried. I want to be a better father. That means I need to be tried. I want to be a better youth pastor. That means I need to be tried. I want to be a better citizen. I want to be a better friend. So I must be tried. The conflict may not, I want to be very careful, the conflict may not be an indication of sin in your life. The conflict may not be an indication of sin in your life. We live in a broken world. We live with broken people. And the effects of those will fall on you eventually. But everything can be used to bring God glory and to purify your gold. You must learn the commands. You must learn to walk. But then lastly, you must learn the relationship. What was the greatest, the ending of this studying and research on this topic was that no matter how many commands the knight gave the horse, it was all good. It was all really, really good. And no matter how well the knight trained the horse to walk with conflict, it was all good, and that's very good. But the emphasis was on the relationship between the knight and the horse. You see, that knight wouldn't just spend time with the horse when the knight knew there was a battle. That knight and that horse became best friends. There was a relationship there that went beyond the training and beyond the field work, and even beyond the battle. It was an everyday, it was a way of life for the horse and the knight to establish a relationship. If you take your Bible and go to the New Testament in the book of John, chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. And when you find chapter 10, the Bible says in verse number 14, Jesus is speaking here and He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am and known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The relationship between the knight and the horse is a relationship between me and Jesus Christ. You see, when it comes to the preparation of listening to the commands, when it comes to learning how to walk and having conflict be my teacher, I can have all sorts of questions. Those commands are too much. The command is too hard. Life is too difficult. This conflict that you are allowing me to go through is too hard. I want it to stop. How is it that the horse doesn't kick back at the knight? And how is it that the horse begins to continually disobey the rider? Why is that not happening? Because there is an established relationship between the knight and the horse. When we go through life and you have experienced conflict and you have experienced struggles, what is your relationship with Jesus Christ like? The preparation, yes, it begins with learning commands and it begins with being conditioned through experience, but it is established and built on the foundation of your relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the one that will never leave you. He is the one that will never forsake you. He is the one that loves you. He has laid down His life for you. And the reason that the knight can say all these commands and the horse obey, and the reason that the knight can tap and, you know, knock the ears and do all these sort of conflicts on the horse, and the reason the horse allows that is because the horse trusts the knight. Do you trust Jesus? Do you really trust Jesus? That the conflict that you are going through is not final because you trust Jesus. The battle that I'm facing, it's hard and it's difficult, but it's not final because I trust Jesus. The commands are sometimes difficult and they're strenuous and it's very hard, but I still trust Jesus. That relationship is the core of the success of the knight and rider in the day of battle. Unfortunately, I've been through some battles and I have tremendously failed. I messed up. I didn't mess up because I stopped tithing. and I didn't mess up because I established a criminal record. I messed up because the relationship between me and Christ wasn't where it needed to be. And I messed up. And I thought, is that it? What happens when you mess up? You could have all the preparation, and you could be in the Word of God every day, and you could be praying every day, and you could embrace some conflicts as you experience and being tried, and yet we can still mess up. We can still fail in a battle. You can come to the end of the day and put your head in your hands and just say, I didn't do well at all. God, I failed you today. I failed as a husband. I failed in my finances. I failed in this, and I failed in my actions and my reactions and my interactions. What happens to us then? What happens to the horse? You see, the horse goes back to the stable. The horse has the wounds from battle, and it is the knight's responsibility to mend them. When those wounds are healed, guess what? The knight goes right back to that same horse. That trust and that loyalty exceeds to another level. In closing, I'd like for us to look at Psalm 103. Back in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms. Psalm 103 and verse number 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Watch verse 14, please. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. What do you do when you fail? You turn to Christ because he knows you. He knows you are imperfect, yet he loves you and he equips you. He knows that you are at fault. He knows that you are weak. He knows that you are made of dust. He is not surprised by a failure. He is not overwhelmed, and he is not just shook at the thought that you messed up and that you fell into a sin, or that you acted or reacted in a wrong way and you may have lost the battle. He is not shocked, because his mercy endureth from everlasting to everlasting. Your failures are not final, because grace is always waiting for you. Your failures are not final, because his grace is already waiting for you. He knows you. He knows your frame. But he also wants you to know him, to know that he is faithful, to know that he gives mercy, and to know that he gives grace. I don't know what battles God has knowledge of in your future. And we don't know what battles the devil. We don't know the battles of the world. And man, sometimes we don't know the battles of the flesh that will come up. And we may not be able to dictate the time, and we may not be able to dictate the type of battle. But by God's grace, we can prepare. Know his commands. Know his voice. Learn how to walk with conflict, and develop and establish a relationship of trust and loyalty to Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we have looked into your word and we trust in it. We believe it to be true. Father, we must prepare for battles. Because though we may not be in the White House battling on a government scale, on a federal scale, though we are not battling in a social scale right now, Lord, we battle the flesh. We battle the world, and we battle the devil in our own homes and in our own minds. So, Father, as the horse is prepared against the day of battle, may we be prepared as we await the ultimate deliverance with Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, we're going to go into our invitation. I want to open it up. I want to open up to fathers, to mothers, to grandparents, who already this week you may have lost the battle. You may have failed a little bit. I want you to know there is a tomorrow. God's mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You can prepare yourself for a battle. As we stand together, I want us to sing this hymn, 464. Hymn 464. The pastors are here and willing to pray with you. If you need to establish your relationship with Jesus Christ, beginning with salvation, you're not for sure if Jesus is your Savior, these pastors would be kind to help you and to walk you through it. If you need to join the church, or if you need to take that next step of obedience, which is baptism, feel free to come forward and talk to them.